Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In today's gospel, we catch a snapshot of a fairly typical day for our Lord. It was a very busy day, indeed. In the picture, we see Jesus engaged in various ministry activities, teaching, exorcising, healing, and preaching. The common denominator that runs through these activities, what would that be? I think we can see it in one verse in our text. His word possessed authority. His word possessed authority in his teaching, in his casting out of demons, in his healing of the sick, and in his preaching. Just how authoritative Jesus' words are shown in each of these four activities, and in them we will see just what it means for us today. The first thing we see mentioned in Jesus is Jesus' teachings. And he was teaching them on the Sabbath, it says, and they were astonished at his teaching. For his word possessed authority. In his ministry, Jesus came as a teacher, a rabbi of sorts. He taught in the synagogues, taught on the mountaintops, and by the seashore. He taught in the temple. Jesus taught the meaning and the application of the Torah, the law of Moses, and the rest of the Hebrew Scriptures. But you know, so did the other scribes and Pharisees, the other teachers in Israel. What's so unique and distinctive about Jesus? In all, it says the people were astonished at his teaching. How did Jesus' teaching differ from that of the rabbis? It was in that one phrase. He taught with authority. While the rabbis would quote each other for their sources, Jesus spoke on his own authority. Jesus taught as one who was sent by God, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. He taught with full confidence. He knew what he was talking about, and people could sense that because he taught with authority. The rabbis would deal with trivial matters of the law and worse. They would add on to their own man-made commandments. How to tithe mint and cumin. How many steps one should take on a Sabbath day's journey. Or how they could declare their money korban or dedicated to God in order to circumvent caring for their family members. They would neglect the weightier matters of the law, like mercy and forgiveness. Jesus, on the other hand, cut right through the minutiae and got to the heart of the matter. Love for God, love for neighbor. No rationalizing away the breaking of God's commandments. A murderous and adulterous heart can be seen even in thought and word, if not in final outward deed. Instead of excusing divorce with a certificate, Jesus called people back to the beginning and God's design and intent in the institution of marriage. Jesus taught with authority. His word possessed authority in other areas we probably don't think too much about, like in his exorcising, that is, in his casting out of the demonic. In fact, that is the activity we see Jesus doing mostly in today's reading, casting out demons, unclean spirits. It says, and in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You notice that the demon knows who Jesus is. He recognizes that Jesus is the Holy One of God. But that knowledge in itself does not engender faith, but rather fear. "Have you come to destroy us?" he says. It's like James says about mere intellectual knowledge, pseudo-faith. "Do you believe there is one God?" James says. "Good. The demons believe and tremble and fear." Well, that's the case with this demon here. He's trembling in the face of the incarnate God. Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." Jesus tells the demon to shut up. That's the same thing that happens later in our text. The demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. But if these demons know who Jesus is and they correctly cry out, "You are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God," why does Jesus then rebuke them and silence them? Doesn't he want people to know who he is? Yes, he does, but not in that way. He doesn't want demons to be the ones who announce who he is. First of all, Jesus wants his own works and his own words to lead people to draw the right conclusion. And then he wants his apostles and preachers to have the honor of proclaiming his identity to the world, not a bunch of demons. So, you demons, shut up and come out of the man, he declared. And when the demon had thrown himself down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. What a great phrase. Jesus demonstrates that he exercises authority not just to show him who's boss. He does show that, but to show that he uses his authority to help people. He has compassion on us, just as he has compassion on this demonized man. The demon wants to harm the man. Jesus wants to help him. As Jesus says in John 10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." When Jesus casts out these demons, it is anticipating the decisive victory he would win over the devil on the cross. There on the cross, Jesus would defeat the devil by taking away the trump card the devil has on all of us, namely, our sins. But Jesus took away our sins in a strange way. He took our sins on himself as he died upon that cross. So the devil has nothing left with which to accuse us. The sin, our sin, has been removed. Death has lost its power. The woman's offspring strikes the serpent in the head and delivers the death blow to his reign of terror. John says in his epistle, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." So these castings out of the unclean spirits are indicative of that great mission Christ came to accomplish. And they were all amazed and said, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." What is this? A word of authority? Christ commands, and demons must flee. The devil is no match for our great champion, As Luther sang in A Mighty Fortress, one little word can fell him. His word possessed authority in teaching, in casting out demons, and third, in healing the sick. This, too, was a way that Jesus exercised his authority to help people in need. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, Scripture says, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked her fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Jesus rebukes not only demons, he rebukes the fever. And just as the demons had to leave, so does this fever. Jesus' words carry authority. It does what he says. What a powerful voice and a merciful one on top of it. Jesus cares for the well-being of his people, including their bodily needs. When I hear about little Connor Gass being born 2 months prematurely, I look to God and say, "Oh God, here is your awesome opportunity to show your power in the life of this little loved one." Premature births can bring fear of what's to come, but this is when we have to say, "I believe this could be our Lord's most glorious hour to display his authority and power." Well, the story continues. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. But you say, "Are there not many other people with high fevers and various diseases, God's people, who do not get healed?" Oh, yes. Indeed, Simon's mother-in-law, healed here, will later get sick again and get old, and she would not recover. The same is true with all the other folks who were healed by Jesus. But these healings that Jesus does here are sufficient to demonstrate that sickness and death are not the end. That the mission of Christ came to accomplish will result in ultimate healing for those mortal bodies. Jesus speaks a word of healing, and it is done. Lastly, his word possessed authority in his preaching. "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus came to proclaim, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus went about proclaiming the coming of God's kingdom, calling people to repent of their sins and believe the good news that their sins are forgiven in him. This was his authoritative word, not just some detached, impersonal words about theories and speculations, but an authoritative, personal word, calling out to people and speaking to their souls as he is speaking through me today. But it is a dynamic, living word for real, live people, calling them home to God, a God who knows all their sins and still, in his mercy, forgives them and accepts them for the sake of his Son. And guess what? As I've already intimated here, Jesus Christ is still preaching today to you, to me. I've been saying all along, his word possessed authority. But I want to bring that forward up to today and say, his word possesses authority. Yes, his word still speaks today. And it is living, active, powerful word. Listen to the living voice of the gospel. Do your sins trouble you? Listen, your sins are forgiven. Does the tempter, the accuser of our souls, cause you grief and doubt? Listen, the devil has no power over you. Does the fear of death and judgment loom in your mind like a black cloud? Listen, death has been defeated. There is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. Your body, yes, that old achy body, you're sitting in here today. Kids, one day you'll understand. One day that body will be healed, restored perfectly in the resurrection at the last day. And boy, do my aching joints look forward to that day. You see, Christ has spoken his word of authority over you in your baptism. There, the triune God placed his name on you, claiming you as his own. Christ speaks his authoritative word of forgiveness into your ears, and through his authorized word declared at the beginning of every service, Christ speaks and authorizes his holy supper. This is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Christ speaks his authoritative word of salvation to us over and over again. So much does he want you to hear and believe that good news. It is for you. His word possesses authority, and his word declares you are free. You are God's child. You are part of God's forever family. That's the authority that will one day bring the entire world to its knees, and every tongue will confess, Jesus is the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.